Don't want to interrupt anybody on fire, you know. Just wow. Thank you all so much. And remember, Tuesday, 6 o'clock. All right, you should be here. And you have a choice. You can either help out with Vacation Bible School, or you can come up here in the choir. All right, but there's an opportunity either way. And on Tuesdays, if you come at 5:30, you can have a hot dog. I think. I could be wrong about that. There's something. I think it's hot dogs. Diana's not in here right now. I'm thinking it's hot dogs on Tuesday. So, how many of you know Chinese? Good. So you have no idea if I'm telling you the truth or not. So apparently, you know, Chinese, they write characters. So apparently the word crisis in Chinese is actually two characters. Life stinks. Did you know that? Life stinks. That's the crisis that when you're writing Chinese and you're writing the word crisis, you actually use two characters. One is life, one is stinks. And I'm talking about circumstances. I'm actually changing the title again from the sermon because, you know, it just... So the title of the sermon now is Praising God in Song When Everything's Wrong. See, that's a whole lot better. See, but when you're in January or December and you're putting this stuff together, you don't know. But now, praising God in song when everything's wrong, even when life stinks. If you're familiar with what's been going on with Paul and in the book of Acts, we already know from last week, Paul is in Philippi. Now, why is Paul in Philippi? Because God told him to go there. He did not want to go there. He did not want to go to Europe. He wanted to go to Russia. But God said, no, go to Europe. And so Paul goes to Europe. First city he goes to, Philippi. All right? You heard what happened to him there in Philippi. It's because he listened to God. If you've read the New Testament, you know there are times when Jesus tells the disciples, get in a boat and sail on the other side of the lake. Sail to the other side of the lake. And what happens? The disciples hit a storm. Remember that? They hit the storm, but they were obedient to Jesus. They did what Jesus told them to do, and they still almost drowned. It was a terrible experience for them. And Paul and Silas in a crisis because they listened to God. And I want to talk about that because sometimes we get it backwards. We think in our head, if we always listen to God, we're going to have smooth sailing and we won't have any rough times. And if you have any experience at all with the Christian faith, you know that that is not the truth. Paul and Silas are in prison because Paul did a good thing. He healed a slave girl. Healed her. And Paul and Silas are beaten, thrown into prison, and not the nice prison. You know how you have nice prisons, you know, like where the politicians get to go? You know, it's kind of, you know, you watch the news, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And then you have the prison, okay? And Paul and Silas are in the prison. They're in the Bible says the innermost prison, which is the prison. And then in stocks, which forces your legs open. In chains. They're in the prison stocks. Put in an extremely uncomfortable position. And that's where they are because they listen to God. Doesn't that just motivate you to want to listen to God? Aren't you just excited about what God might ask for you, that where you might go? And how could God possibly use that? Because you just think listening to God would be better rewarded. But if you have any experience in life and in Christianity, you know it doesn't work that way. The fact of the matter is, there is evil in the world. I don't need to tell you that. There's evil in the world. There is injustice in the world. All right, there's a lot of things that happen that are not fair in this world. Paul and Silas in this passage are victims of evil and injustice. But God has a different plan. They are not victims. They are instruments of God's grace. Instruments of God's grace. And God is going to use even these terrible circumstances to bring about redemption. Because in this passage, we hear the story about the redemption of the jailer. Paul and Silas have been beaten, thrown into prison. I already told you about the prison that they were put in. And the jailer is responsible. Back in those days, the jailer is responsible. If the prisoner was to get out, the jailer's life is forfeit. Which is why at verse 27 we read, the jailer woke up, saw the prison doors open, and he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Why? Why kill yourself? The prisoners, there was an earthquake, for Pete's sake. He's not in charge of earthquakes. It's not his fault that there was an earthquake and the prison doors open and the chains fall off. How could he possibly be held responsible for that? And yet he knows that the society he lives in, he understands that the pressure he lives under, he is going to be held responsible. Some of you who've read the Bible know this. Know that in Acts chapter 12, Peter escapes from prison. Remember how that works? Angel shows up middle of the night, releases Peter. Peter walks out a free man. But if you finish reading through that, everybody remembers Peter walks out free. But then what happened? The guards have to explain themselves to Herod. And what does Herod do? Herod has them executed. The guards are executed. That's the way Roman society worked in those days. You fail, you get killed. You're terminated in a big way. You don't just lose your job, you lose your life. The jailer was getting ready to take his own because he knew the pressure. He knew the kind of society that he lived in. He knew how it was going to go. He worked for Rome, and Rome was merciless. Look what happened with Paul and Silas. They did a good thing. They freed a slave girl. But because people were losing money, and we all know how we worship money, the only thing we worship more than money is success. And the jailer was fearful of that. Rome is merciless. It doesn't tolerate weakness. It doesn't tolerate failure. The Philippian card knew that. And he was trapped in a system that did not allow failure or weakness. Is there anybody here kind of trapped in a feeling of weakness? Trapped with the pressure of failure? Fear? You know what I'm talking about? You ever work for a boss, whatever you did, it wasn't going to be good enough, wasn't going to be fast enough? You ever have a problem with making your sales quota? You ever have a problem with clients and getting a base to come? You have a problem with you know what I'm talking about? The pressure, the success, that need, that little voice that goes off in our head that says, no matter how much we do, it is never going to be enough. We are never, ever going to measure up. Do you know what I'm talking about that haunts you? That haunts you. Do you remember a guy named Mark Spitz? Mark Spitz was the Michael Phelps before there was a Michael Phelps. All right, I think probably before Michael Phelps was even born. Mark Spitz was the swimmer extraordinaire. The 1972 Olympics. Some of you may remember. At that time, he won the most gold medals that had ever been won in one Olympics. Just amazing. He had 7 gold medals around his neck. All the different races he had swum in. But what you may not have noticed or remembered from that is back in 1972 in Mexico City, ABC, the Donna DeVona, was interviewing him right before the 7th race. He's already won 6 gold medals. And she's interviewing him right before the 7th race. And he tells her, I don't want to swim. Because what are you talking about? I don't want to swim. What are you talking about? You've got 6 gold medals. He says, because if I swim 6 races and win 6 gold medals, I'm a hero. But if I swim 7 races and only win 6 gold medals, I'm a failure. You see that kind of pressure? That kind of pressure can just suck the joy out of life and out of living. And that's what was happening. And that's what happens with other people sometimes. They get so wrapped up in having to have success. And this jailer's like, I'm done. It's all over for me. See, we hear a story of redemption here. Not only of the jailer, but of circumstances. Because if you'll notice, when Paul and Silas are thrown in prison unfairly and unjustly, instead of languishing in prison, what are they doing? They're singing. They're singing. They don't sing when they get released from prison. They sing while they're in prison, while they're locked up in the innermost, most uncomfortable ways. And they sing, and the other prisoners are hearing that song, and they stay to listen to the song. Now, I don't know what song they sung. Maybe they sang that song, "My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love." You ever hear that song? "My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in..." It's a good song. But maybe they sang Bill's favorite, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand." You know. Or maybe they sang what Lorraine and Patsy in the choir sang last week. Remember that? "I feel like going on." You know, they're locked up in prison. "And I feel like going on." You see how that goes? Because if you read the book of Acts, you find out that's exactly what happened. Paul and Silas and Lydia go on. Even after they go on. An entire city of Philippi is saved. Not just the jailer. The entire city is saved. And not just that city. They go on through all of Europe. Go all the way to Rome. Continuing to spread the good news of the gospel. That all of us can be redeemed. If you'll notice in the story, after the earthquake, and the prison doors are open, and the chains fall off, where does everybody go? You think that's when they're saying, "Oh, let's go, we're free, ice cream's on me, let's go." But no. They stay. Because they know there's one more person who needs to be released. One more person who needs to be set free. That jailer trapped in a system that does not tolerate weakness or failure needs to hear the gospel and the words of redemption. The bars are open. The chains have fallen. But the song continues on until the jailer hears the words and hears the song. You see, that's what God gives to us. God has given us a song to sing. No matter what our circumstances may be, circumstances don't determine our character. They reveal our character. Paul and Silas's character was revealed that even in the innermost of prisons, even after they've been treated unfairly, after they've been beaten and there's been terrible injustice thrown upon them, they still sang the song. Their faith in God wasn't when circumstances were great. Their faith in God was even when circumstances were terrible and unjust, and they could still sing the song. God gives us a song to sing. And it's important that we sing it because we are living in a world where people need to be set free. Free from their own expectations, free from the expectations of other people, free from the fear of failure, free from weakness, free from doubt, to be set free, to know that God loves them, treasures them, holds them close to his heart. There is a song we are called to sing, and every voice sings. Every voice is lifted up. We're never told that Paul had a good voice. They sang so bad, the earth quaked, for goodness sakes. They fell so bad, the chains were trying to fall away. They sang so bad, and yet the song was so strong and so powerful that they stayed even when they had a chance to escape. Because when you've heard that song of grace, you want to make sure everyone gets that release, that everyone is set free, that they can walk in the redemption of God's grace. Amen.